Classical music fans will know very well of the legendary violins made by Stradivarius and Guarneri, the 17th and 18th century master luthiers who made violins of such class that they now sell for millions. But are they any good? Well, yes, obviously they are, but are they better than modern violins? Strads have a mythical reputation, but a new paper this week has tried to apply scientific methodology to assess whether audiences prefer those classic violins to modern ones. It was a double-blinded study, meaning that neither the players nor the audience knew which instrument was being played. The soloists were literally wearing blindfolds. But before we get to that, we thought we should collect our own data point. I went to see virtuoso soloist Tasmin Little, and she played me two of her violins, one a mere 20 years old and the other made in 1757. Now, I was a fairly serious violinist in my youth, but could I tell the difference?
So, Adam, I'm going to play you the opening of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto on one of the instruments. Now, how's about this one? So, which one was the old violin and which one was the new?
That's almost impossible to tell. I think, so these are my comments. Well, initially, my first comment is, wow, thank you, what a treat. You don't usually get this on Inside Science, so that's lovely. The second thing is, the first violin, I think, had a richer lower register, and that is what makes me think that was the older, the Guadagnini. But I don't know. I'm just scrabbling around in the dark here. I've got no idea,
really.
It's
so unfair. I'm so sorry. We've been really mean to you. Okay, so the first one, in fact, was the new instrument, the copy of the Strad made by an Italian maker called Silvio Lavaggi. And I've had that for about 20 years, and I had it from new. And the second instrument was the Giovanni Battista Guadagnini, my main violin, made in 1757, a year after Mozart was born, made in Milan.
Well, there you go. Tragic fall at the very first hurdle. There's more Tasmin Little coming up in just a minute. Claudia Fritz from the Pierre and Marie Curie University in Paris is the acoustic scientist who conducted the study. And I spoke to her from her home with extra commentary from her baby son Simeon on her lap at the time. I asked her how they tested old Italians versus modern fiddles.
We had basically pairs of violins constituted of one new violin and one old violin, which were played by a blindfolded player on stage in a concert hall behind an acoustically transparent screen. So neither the player nor the audience did know the identity of the violins. And so the violins were played by pairs, and the audience had to judge for each pair what was the relative projection of the two violins within the pair, and as well their preference for one or the other violin.
And what pieces were being played?
So the pieces that we chose were, for the solo excerpts, they were covering the full range of the violin, from the bottom string to the top string.
That's the Tchaikovsky, is it?
Yes. And for the excerpts with the orchestra, we chose excerpts which are famous for violinists to be difficult to play over an orchestra. The violinist is struggling to be heard over the orchestra. That was Brahms and Sibelius, if I remember well.
And what did the audience think? What were the results?
The audience thought that the new violins were projecting more, and they preferred the new violins as well.
And it was as stark as that? It was a consistent result across all your tests?
Yeah, we did the experiment twice. We did it first in Paris, where we only tested projection with 55 people in the audience. And then we retested it in New York. This time the audience was a bit bigger, 82, so we could divide them in two groups, one group judging projection and one group judging preference, and then they swap for another player. And we got the same results for projection in both experiments. So with different venues, different players, different violins and different audiences, we got the same results in terms of projection. So it's not a huge advantage of the new violins, but it's statistically significant.
And it is different from earlier work that you have conducted yourself in the last few years, which was specifically focused on how players thought about Stradivarius violins compared to modern ones. But those results were also not in favour of the Strads.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, our previous studies were about the player's point of view, blindfolded players, but the projection had to be addressed with an audience. And overall, yes, the point of view of the audience corresponds to the point of view of players. They both favour new instruments. And both players and listeners can't tell new violins from old violins.
How does it make you feel about busting the myth of the Stradivarius violins and Guarneri's and the old Italian masters?
Well, to be honest, at the beginning I did this study because I was interested in how we can correlate the perception of players with some mechanical and acoustical measurements. So the myth, well, I didn't really care about. I just wanted to know whether people could tell the violins apart. Now, actually, I feel a bit better about it because there are so many makers who contact me and say, oh, thank you so much for your work. You know, it's changing our lives. Now I feel liberated, not having this pressure of copying Strad. And now players as well, young soloists, they are quite happy as well because nobody can afford a Strad anymore. And finding a Strad, you know, loaned by a benefactor has some problems as well. So I think it's time that people recognize the talent of soloists not based on, you know, what instrument they play, but based on how they play.
So what does Tasmin Little make of this latest round of Stradivarius myth-busting?
Now, as far as this report is concerned, there are various variables that you have to take into consideration. I don't know where these Strads came from, but for instance, I think it's probable that they would be museum instruments because they wouldn't be the player's own instrument because obviously that player would know their own instrument, nor would it be likely that it was an instrument from another soloist. So it would be part of a collection or very likely from a museum. Now, these instruments don't get played very regularly and not regularly enough that they would shine at their very maximum potential.
Well, this was one of my questions when I was talking to Claudia Fritz earlier, is that, well, if you own a violin, your Guadagnini you've had for however many years, it's like one of your children.
25 years, yes.
And presumably you know it inside out. And
exactly.
If I were to give you a brand new instrument that you'd never come across, I'm sure it would sound beautiful, but it's not the same, is it?
It's not the same at all. No, absolutely not. But what was very interesting was the fact that a lot of members of the public seemed to like the newer instrument. I think that there are various factors, again, at play here, that when you get into a large concert hall, projection is an important factor. When you're playing a concerto with an orchestra, you've got to be audible, and an instrument that will help you to be audible is obviously an asset. What you tend not to be able to do when playing with an orchestra is play a real quality piano, quiet sound. And that's where old instruments can often come into their own. So the quality that you can achieve when you're playing quietly is often far greater than on a new instrument where they sound great and really vivid and exciting when you play them loudly, but the quality disappears a little bit when you play them softly. Now, I mean, obviously, I'm generalising here.
So another point as well that I needed to ask a professional soloist such as yourself, which is that if you're given an instrument or if you have an instrument which you know has a sort of mythical quality to it, like a Strad or a Guadagnini, and you played a Strad for many years as well, what does it feel like? I mean, does it make you play better? Do you want to perform better than if I just gave you something beautiful but new?
I'm not sure that really comes into it because, for instance, when I picked up the Lavaggi, I really liked it and I really wanted to play it. So I think it's a little bit like, you know, when you meet somebody new, do you really like that person? Yes, I really like them and I really want to talk to them. And it's a bit the same way with an instrument. You play it and you think, I really like what this instrument is giving me and I'm excited to try some new possibilities. So I don't think that really enters into it.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a real mythos and legendary status behind, well, particularly the Strads and the Guarneris and the Guadagninis as well. But you're sort of approaching this from a very practical, quite a scientific mindset. You're saying that there's not a mythos. They are better instruments. They feel better to play.
Well, for me, they generally do. I've had an opportunity to play a variety of old instruments. And the thing about these old instruments is that they are well played in generally. I mean, obviously, I'm not counting museum instruments here, but if you take any soloist who is regularly playing their instrument, that instrument is going to be sounding its maximum. There is one more aspect here which I think is quite important to bring into the conversation, and that is that the way that an instrument is set up is also crucial. Now, a setup is how where the bridge is in alignment with the sound post, and just general factors like that which can make a huge difference to the sonority of an instrument. So the way that a new instrument is set up, obviously the maker is going to have spent a lot of time on that setup. If you get an instrument that sits in a museum, nobody will have looked at the setup for years and years. So again, I think it's only really, you know, if we were going to do that study and take the top, you know, 10 Stradivariuses in the world versus the top 10 modern instruments, I think that's the next thing to do, really.
Of the two violins that you've played for us today, one is the Guadagnini from the 18th century and the other is more modern, but which do you actually prefer?
I prefer my Guadagnini. My Guadagnini is my soulmate and I feel that I can do what I want with that instrument. I know it incredibly well. It knows me very well. We're an old married couple, really.